Look throughout the Gospels and it becomes clear that Jesus very often used parables to teach. A parable, by its definition, is meant for the listener to line up his or her life with the central message. It's also supposed to do two things. First, shake up one's assumption and question what is going on. And two, help the listener make a decision. I suspect for us here this morning and those watching at home that this parable, unlike, say, the parables of the prodigal son or the Good Samaritan, this parable causes a strong reaction. Now, if its central message is one of justice, it doesn't seem fair. But this parable isn't about justice. It's about God's call and our response and his generous grace. And to help us understand, we have to look at it on two levels, the historical and the personal. Scripture scholars remind us that Matthew's gospel was written after St. Mark and St. Luke's. The church was growing and organizing itself. And St. Matthew included these words of Jesus to address those early Christians who thought they had a right to a privileged position because they had professed a belief in Jesus Christ for the longest period of time. And they were involved in the proclamation of the gospel. Essentially, a tension developed between the Jewish Christians and the Gentiles. And what is important for us today is not who was there first, but rather who answered the call to follow Jesus. Now, what does this have to do with us today? There are a few points of reflection. The first is it shows that people respond to Jesus at different times. There are those of us here this morning, most of us, I suppose, who might be called cradle Catholics. That is, we were baptized at birth and grew in our faith. But there are others who entered the faith as teenagers or as college students or as adults, what we call converts. And each year, thousands of people, even in the United States, of various ages, enter the church through the RCIA programs. And I know some of you here today became Catholic through the RCIA program. At any age, we can be drawn to Christ or called to a closer relationship with him. God calls people at any hour of life. But there's an additional lesson for us today. Notice that the owner did not compare one group with another. They were all paid because they answered the call. And the same is true with us. The Lord doesn't compare us with each other. Each of us has a unique combination of talents and challenges and opportunities in life. And the problems and opportunities may be the same, but the combination is always unique. What our Lord asks of each of us is that we follow him with whatever we have and as best as we can. And because our faith is meant to be lived and not to be stagnant, each of us enjoys a gift of faith that should develop over what we might call the seasons of our lives. When we are young, we often have questions. There's an enthusiasm, a restlessness, and an imagination. I see this in the seminarians who are at Bishop White, who are signed into parishes, and who are at St. Patrick's. But then in early adulthood, and many of you here today, raising your families, the lived faith is brought to your dealings with friends and the workplace. Then as you mature in midlife, there's a reappraisal, a time to refocus, to look at what is most important, and hopefully one sense of identity as a Christian ends up giving us this insight to drop the facades of pretending that we are something other than what we really are. There is a maturity and a shift in priorities. But then in the senior years of our lives should come wisdom, along with an honesty and acceptance that there's more to life than what we have and what we've done as far as a career. There's a realization that life is passing, and a deep appreciation of the words of Jesus, what profit a person to gain the world and lose one's soul? Each season has its own gift to bring the vineyard, you might say. Some who are older may not have the energy, but they have the gift of wisdom. And the young may not be seasoned by experience, but they have again that enthusiasm and the drive. It is as the book of Proverbs says, the glory of a young man is his strength, the glory of the old man is his experience. The vineyard needs both. But finally, there's one more point for our reflection on this morning. One that seems especially timely today when so many people believe they are victims, that they've been cheated, that something more is owed to them, and so they find or join organizations that essentially want to overturn whatever they conclude is oppressive or patriarchal, whatever fits their new agenda. And what is it fueled by? Resentment. Now, Henry Nouwen was a Dutch priest, and he died about 25 years ago, but he wrote many spiritual books that are very popular today. And many of them touched on the topic of resentment, essentially what one believes is owed them. Now, Henry Nouwen insisted that whenever we face losses, large or small, real or imagined, we have two options, resentment or gratitude. Just like those who grumble to the owner of the vineyard, the first option is tempting. In one of Father Nouwen's books, he wrote, when we are hit by one loss after another, it's very easy to become disillusioned, angry, bitter, and increasingly resentful. The older we become, the greater the temptation to say, life has cheated me. There's no future for me, nothing to hope for. The only thing to do is defend the little I have so I won't lose it at all. Resentment, Father Nouwen concludes, is one of the most destructive forces in our lives. Well, think about it here this morning. Who hasn't at one time not felt left out, passed over, unfairly treated? And very often, life isn't fair. And that's why this parable is read at Mass on the cycle of readings. It's not about justice or fair wages. It is about grace, God's grace, and how God's ways are not our ways, whose thoughts are not our thoughts. It is about an invitation that our loving Father extends to everybody, and not just those who feel entitled to special treatment. It is a grace extended to all people, saints and sinners alike. Father Nouwen urged people to learn how to practice what he called the discipline of gratitude. Instead of focusing on our losses with resentment, what we are owed, he urged the follower of Christ, the Catholic Christian, to be grateful for the many gifts that God has given us, and he extends to all people, especially the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, we celebrate this Eucharist every Mass in memory of Jesus Christ, who on the night before he died, turned to the Father and thanked them from the very depths of his sorrow. We mourn our losses at this Eucharist when we say, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Eucharist means thanksgiving, that is gratitude, and it comes from God. As we continue our Mass this morning, coming to this Mass with burdens and blessings, let us pray for that same grace that our loving Father offers to all. Our God, who cannot be outdone in his generosity, and humbly realize that if we only think what's in it for me, we leave no room for God in our lives.